soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand.
Thank you, Addy. That was awesome. And I have the privilege this morning of introducing our speaker this morning. Pastor Dave, as many of you know, is out of town on enjoying a much-deserved and needed vacation, so we're excited for him. So we have the opportunity to hear from someone who is, I think, commonly known around here as China Jim. China Jim Smith. We were talking about you in Sunday school this morning, actually. We were talking about Jesus in Sunday school, but you came up. it's kind of just kind of a small, like crazy small world type thing. I knew not their whole family, but their son Jimmy. I was very well acquainted with him while I was my family. We were missionaries in Mongolia, and so I met him at MK missionary kid retreats, and we would hang out, and it was always fun getting to see him. And then we came here and I met his parents, and I was just like, wait, it was just kind of a crazy connection to make that, hey, this is the same family that we were over there and now we're here, and it's just kind of cool. But I'm excited to hear from China Jim this morning. So why don't we give it up as Jim comes forward to share the word with us this morning.
This is me and Jody. That's my wife over there. I thought some of you might not know us, so I thought I'd give a real quick rundown of this real fast, because I hadn't done a missions talk here in a few years. So, did I do that right? I did. That's what we looked like about the time we went to China, up there on the top, and that's sort of what we look like now. That was a couple of years ago, but that's us now. The Jimmy in question is the guy at the end there, and that's his wife, Ann, and this is Katie and Jenny. They're around somewhere. China is big. It's got a lot of people in it. The little white line up there is the line that says 96% of the population of China lives on the east side of that line. See the white line going over there? So there are 1.5 billion people over in the side, over in that, on the coast, basically. We live on the coast in a city that looks like that. You know, you see romantic pictures of green mountains and panda bears and all that kind of stuff. That is not my China. This is my China. And it's got lots and lots of people everywhere. There are more people there than you can ever imagine. There are more people than I could ever touch. I literally, if I stood in the market and I put my hand out and people walked by and touched me, it would probably kill me just from the number of people that hit me. It's a lot of people. We live in this city. It was 6 million people when we moved there. It's 10 million now. The design population by 2050 is supposed to be 45 million people. I can't imagine. Those numbers don't mean anything. They're numbers that are just wash over you. And you can't have that number of relationships. So we got to do something to get in touch with people. Jody and I teach. These are some of Jody's students. She did sort of industrial education. When we were in China, she had, 500 students every week? 600 students every week? Just industrial education. People say, can you really impact people in that kind of education? And it's amazing that people still get saved just by her being in that class. You know, they come in, they say, well, you're a Christian, aren't you? And she says, yeah. And they say, okay, I'll go to church. What a deal. You don't even have to do anything. All you have to do is be there. People say, am I qualified? Well, that means you're qualified to go. If you're a Christian, you're qualified to be over there doing this. It's an amazing thing. I teach other students, and they're like that. We work with different kinds of groups. We work with underground churches. We work with official churches. Push that button. One of the things that happened, this is kind of cool. I can go back and forth. Okay, this was an official church group. We started doing little Bible studies, and we started with, 9, 10 people every week, and we got up to about 60, and they harmonized us. Have you ever been harmonized? You know, I know you try to do harmony in the morning here, right? In China, harmony means to be quiet. It means that they're just going to make you go away. And so we got up too big and they harmonized us. And the pastor came to me and she said, now, this is your last week to meet. I said, okay, did we do something wrong? And she said, no. No, it's not you. You did everything okay. But you've got to go away. And so we said, well, it's okay. She said, get everybody's phone number. I said, okay. And we just went back to the way we did it before, which was small groups. That group of 60 people, we divided up into, 10 groups of 6 or 6 groups of 10 or however you want to divide it up. It was multiple groups. We had different teachers. Everybody had different groups. This was one of my groups, and we started talking about things. And it's amazing when you're in a group with 60 people, sort of like this. I talk to you, and you listen. There's no feedback. But when you get into a small group with 5 or 6 people, you begin to discuss things. and you begin to find out what they're thinking. You begin to find out what they don't really understand. And it's amazing how words can be used and not understood. We were going along and we came to this word, chun yi. Anybody here know what chun yi is? Okay. So, chun yi, that China is divided into syllables. It's a syllabary. Any of you guys Cherokee Indians? The Cherokee alphabet isn't really alphabet, it's really a syllabary. And these things, the Chinese language is also a syllabary. On the left-hand side is chen, and that means to be fit for something. On the right-hand side is yi, and that means a kind of righteousness that you're good or, you know, something like that. So the common understanding of this, when I asked them, well, what does this mean? They said, well, it means being good or going to church. Or not wanting to sin, not wanting to do something bad. But this is what it means. It means justification. That's a chief article of our faith. You see, this is the act that God did to make you acceptable to Him. It's justification. Chun yi. And they thought it meant being good and going to church, doing stuff. But it doesn't. You see, that changes the meaning of Romans 5:1. Therefore, we have been justified through faith. If you say, therefore, we have been being good. Therefore, we have been wanting to go to church. Through faith, we have peace with God. No, you see, God did this thing. And He does it, and He continues to do it. He continues to chun yi us. That's a really great different thing. So what happened was these people in these small groups, when they began to understand this different meaning of a word, it radically changed their lives. They began to go home and tell their family. One of the ladies went home, told her mom, told her daughter, told her husband, and over about a 6-month period, they got saved. You know, that's a major difference. And it doesn't come from anything except sitting around with small groups. When we got harmonized, we wondered what was happening. Is this something that the Lord's taking away from us? No, it wasn't. It was something the Lord was giving to us. You know, many times we think that the Lord's taking something away from us, when most of the time He's really giving us something. That's a remarkable thing. There are people like this, communist guys. You know any commies? I know a lot of them. And you know what? Most of them are lost. You know why they're lost? Because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know what justification is. And the only way for them to know is for somebody to hang out with them. That's all it is. You wonder what missions is all about? Missions is not about great crusades most of the time. Missions is about going somewhere and hanging out with people and trying to explain justification to them. That's it. That's it. Now I got a bunch of these students here. These guys, if we hadn't been there, they wouldn't have heard. And they're going to disappear here in a minute. Come on, let's go. I want to do this fast so I can get to the other stuff. That's what we do most of the time. We think we got to hurry up so we can get to most of the important stuff. And yet, that's the important stuff. You look around at the people around you, that's the important stuff. You go to work and you work with people, those people that you work with, those are the important stuff. Missions is not about some number. It's not about the 20 million or the 45 million people. It's about that individual right there. So, if we don't do missions, that's what we end up with. Nothing. Missions is not about me. Missions is about what you do. Okay? Yeah, thanks for loading that other one. So, in our life, most of the time, we lose focus on what the goal is. You ever lost focus on what the actual goal of your life is? What about how to get there? Once you figure out what the goal is, do you know how to get there? All religions are defined by those two things. What is the goal and how to get there? Christians, Muslims, unaffiliated people. You know what unaffiliated people are? They're called the nuns now. Did you know that that's the largest, they've achieved the largest growth in the United States of any group. They're called nuns. They're not N-U-N-S, they're the N-O-N-E-S. They don't have any affiliation. What's their goal? Most of the time it's their own comfort or their entertainment or their life. They're just going to go through life and they don't have anything in it. So how to get there? There is no method. They just do whatever they think is right. That's the largest group, the largest growing group in the world is that unaffiliated. Hindus, what are the goals and what are the methods to get there? Christians, what about Christians? When I talk to people on the mission field, I find that these things are very interesting. You say heaven to somebody, everybody wants to go to heaven. Anybody here want to go to heaven? What is it? I think that's where the rubber meets the road. Everybody starts writing down what they think heaven is, and you'll find that in this group of, 200 people, 300 people, that there are probably 300 different definitions. But in Christianity, we have some basics, and they are, let's see, I can read it right here. Heaven is a really good place, yeah, with really good people there. And God's the best, and he's in charge. Yeah, have you ever heard the little ditty, you know, heaven is a wonderful place full of glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. Y'all heard that? Some people, a couple of people have heard that. Yeah, that's what we think of as heaven. That's what we are, but actually most people don't really know about it. And how do we get there? Not what I wanted to go to. Man's righteousness scale. People, if you talk to people, this is pretty much what they think. That there's a scale of righteousness. And righteousness means that you have the right to go to heaven. That's just basically what it means. Hitler doesn't have any right to go to heaven in our culture, does he? What about Hannibal Lecter? You know who he is? He was a really bad guy in the movie. What about a child molester? No, we want to get rid of them. The man, the politically incorrect person, those people, we axe them. I hear it on the radio all the time. Cut them down. They're not worthy of anything. Throw them out. What about the ignorant people, those who are mute? What about the ugly and the rude? Are the people outside those who we don't understand? Like I asked you about communists. If somebody came up here and started talking about communism, how many of you would have a violent reaction against them? Would you throw them out? What about the Hindu? Would you throw them out? Then you can start getting on the positive side. I like him. I hear people all the time. I like him, or they're related to me. And I say, well, you know, those people aren't Christian. They're not going to go to heaven. But I like them. If I like them, doesn't that make a difference? Ooh. What if they're cute? Oh, man. That cute little kid. Woo. How about Mother Teresa? Somebody that gives their life, lays down their life for people. Is that who it is that's worthy of going to heaven? You see, here we are in God's scale, though. It's binary. You know what binary is? It's either on or off. Light switch is binary. It's on or off. If you believe and or you have faith in Jesus, you're really, really good and you get to go to heaven. If you don't have faith in Jesus, it's off and there's no way. You're really, really bad. Here's another way to look at it. We see the top thing like this, and we think that good and bad is mixed up in each person. You think everybody here is good and bad? You do good stuff, you do bad stuff, but that's not the way God sees it. God sees it like the thing below there. If you're good, you're good. If you're bad, you're bad. There's a separation. There's a difference. And it's a difference of perspective. Now, what is the process through which, by which we need to go through to get to heaven? To become righteous, to be worthy of heaven. Is it simple mental assent? You know, believe. Is it simple mental assent? Mental assent means, you know, I just believe it. I'm going to think about it and I'm going to believe it. This is my definition. Belief which causes action is faith. Okay, I can believe something is true and it doesn't change the way I act. Can you do that? Very easily. Without action, the belief does not become faith and does not cause spiritual change. Faith without works is dead. That means that if the belief that's in you doesn't cause you to do something, then it doesn't exist. The faith doesn't exist. So, what is the action that's required? Okay. Let's go to John. John chapter 2. Jesus' first miracle. Remember Jesus' first miracle? Take some vessels, fill them up with water. Jesus does something, and the water changes into wine. No one knows where the wine came from, but everybody's really happy. Right? We all begin life as empty vessels. There's nothing in us, but we have the capacity to hold things, to hold whatever we're taught. Not just taught, but whatever we hear. When we hear the gospel, it's like pouring water into our empty vessels. You know, when you sit and you watch TV, you're putting stuff in there. Is it good? Sorry, that's meddling. When that water comes into contact with Jesus, he changes it. He changes it. The liquid changes. Now, you can drink a lot of water and nothing happens, except it'll clean you out. Now, the doctors told me that I have to drink 3 liters of water every day. That's almost a gallon. Most of the time, I drink a lot of it. I drink a lot of water. And it doesn't really change the way I think. But if I took a little bit of whiskey and I drank just a little bit, or you can even take, in China they have this stuff called baijiu, and it's like white lightning. It's a high octane liquor. People drink like a shot of it, you know? And guess what happens? Their nature changes. It's not just the volume that does it, but it's what's in that stuff that changes people. You go to John 3, and we've all heard this scripture, right? You must be born of the water and the Spirit. It's not simple mental assent. The water has to be in there. You got to know what to do. You got to have the information. But then the Spirit of God has to do something to you. John 4:14. Whoever drinks the water Jesus gives will never be thirsty again. This is different kind of water. The substance is different. Like baijiu, the substance is different. Whatever it is, Jesus' water will multiply. Huh? It's different. The lame man says in John 5, the lame man said, I can't get in the water to be healed. Jesus comes in contact with him and the man is changed. The man is healed. What's happening there? It's not just the knowledge. It's not just talking about the water. It's not just the mental ascent. The disciples, in John 6, the disciples were in the storm and they thought the water was going to drown them. And Jesus came walking to them on the water. And as soon as they took him into the boat, all their problems were over. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. And if you believe in me, now this word believe is something that's pretty interesting to me. Let's see if I can say this right. Pissed off. Have you ever been pissed off? You see, if you're pissed off, you believe something so much that it causes you to do something. It impels you. Do you know what to be impelled is? Brother Dave always has an example. So I brought one too. Okay, let's see. See if I can find my things. Here's a water bottle. And here's a rope. Now I'm going to put this down. I'll just yell for a minute. If I come in contact with something that has more power, and I insert my belief into the thing that has more power, it's amazing how much movement I get. And the longer I go, you got to even set this thing somehow. And so, generally what happens when you get pissed off is you believe something so that this happens to you. You are impelled. This thing becomes an impeller in your life. Have you ever been impelled? You know, we try to look at things and motivate people to action. But what we really want is for you to believe something so that the belief impels you. Not so that someone standing up here gets you to come to the front. Not so that someone forces you to pray every day. Not so that someone forces you to read the Bible, but so that the belief that is within you impels you to do these things. Why do I go to China? Is it because I'm forced to go? No, it's because I believe something so much in my heart that I'm willing to give years, decades to go do that. Story of the man who was born blind. You know this, John 9. Jesus spits on the ground, gets some of the gunk, puts it in his eye, and says, go wash it off. Right? The blind guy, I'm going to call him BG, for the blind guy. Jesus took a broken vessel and he fixed it, right? But that's not all that happened. Random people asked him, who is this guy that fixed you? He said, well, his name's Jesus. Some Pharisees came and they said to him, who is it that fixed you? And he said, some prophet, somebody that talks to God. There was a big argument, controversy, and threats of rejection. They called his parents in. His parents were frightened because they'd be rejected. And the BG said, this guy is from God. He's not only named Jesus, which is God saves. He's not only hearing from God, he is from God. The vessel had been repaired. Water was being poured in to be the blind guy, but there was still no salvation. But the blind guy was ready. Jesus came to the blind guy and said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And the blind guy said, I don't know who he is. Tell me who he is so I might believe in him, so I might pistiovo, so that I might be impelled by this belief. Jesus says, that's me. He calls him Lord and worships him. He's gone all the way from, I don't know who this guy is, to here is my Lord that I'm willing to worship in the face of rejection. The question for you today, the blind guy, he needed to be fixed. The blind guy, he needed to be questioned. He needed to be rejected. He needed to come in contact with Jesus, and then he needed to be impelled. Question is, what do you need today? Do you need to be fixed? You see, the scripture says if you need to be fixed, call the elders of the church and they will come to you, and the prayer that is impelled by belief will cause you to be saved, cause you to be healed. How many people, when they are sick, call the church, call their friends, call their neighbors? This is something that is impelled by faith. Yeah? You know, this is not something that shows your weakness. This is something that shows God's strength. A lot of people say, I don't need any help. I can do this myself. Can you really? I don't think you can, really. I think we need each other. We need to lock arms with each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to be in each other's lives. Call the elders of the church. Just call each other, will you? If you need prayer, if you need something, be vulnerable. Be willing to say, I need your help. Because it's amazing. I bet everybody in here needs something. Do you need to be questioned? Most people don't want to be questioned. Isaiah 1:18 says, come and let us reason together. This is God saying this to us. Come and let us reason together. How many of you have ever been questioned about your faith? Most of the time it's necessary. It's something that is required for you to be ready for salvation. How many of you need to be rejected? Friendship with the world is hatred of God. Do you know what the world is? It's very simple. All the things in the world are composed of three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Why, that's what it says in 1 John 2:16 anyway. You know what advertisement does? First, it grabs your eye. Then it touches your flesh. And then it makes you think you're great because you've touched your eye and your flesh. Next time you're watching advertisements, see if they don't fit the description of the world. Is the friendship of that thing hatred of God? That's a little different thought, isn't it? How many of you need to be rejected? Need to be rejected? Sometimes we do. So that we come to God on a point of weakness. I bet there's not anyone in here that thinks that they're really the best person in the world. But the Lord sure loves you. And He'll change you. And He'll make you His. Do you need to come in contact with Jesus? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you things that you do not know. Great and wonderful things. You need Jesus? I know where to find Him. He's at the end of your tongue. All you got to do is call. Do you need to be impelled by belief? Romans 10:17. Belief, which impels to action, comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. If you don't read the Bible, you need to. If you don't talk to other Christians, guess what? You need to. And what do you need to say to each other? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and talk to each other about the Lord. That's what you need to do. And it's amazing what will happen. You see, the belief which impels you to action is the thing that saves you. The action itself, it doesn't really matter. You see, in this thing, it doesn't matter what that vessel is, does it? But it sure does matter when you turn that on. Woo! How long is that going to stay on there? I don't know. But that's pretty amazing. That's exactly what God does with us. And the salvation comes with the power. With the Holy Spirit. So, I urge you today to be impelled to action. Yeah? At home, be impelled to action. At work, be impelled to action, or school, or wherever you're going. And when you're alone, have you ever thought that just when you're alone, you can be impelled to action? This is something that's very simple and very core to our belief. And I hope you understand that belief is not something that you simply say to yourself. You don't just go through life thinking these things, but it drives you. Whatever you think is what you do. If you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing and you know it, check the basis of what drives you to that belief. If you're doing something that you think has no meaning, check the basis of why you're doing it. Because it may be that if you change your belief, that your whole life might change. Will you pray with me before we go? Lord God, you are great and mighty. You are wonderful in all things. You desire good for each and every one of us. You promise us a heaven that is far beyond anything any of us can even imagine. You tell us that it's very easy to go there, that all we have to do is hold on to you. Lord our God, I ask that you use that belief in our lives to impel us to do something, that you impel us to action, that you impel us to the fruits of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, I ask that you go with all of these people to move them this week. Amen. Amen. Have a good week. You are dismissed.